We'll be finishing the scroll that is in the hand of Jesus Christ, with the seven seals being opened. And we will begin to look into the meaning of the trumpets, seven trumpets that follow. For our scripture reading, I will read the first few verses of Revelation chapter 8. So I'll begin Revelation 8, verse 1. This is what the Lord has said in Revelation 8, 1. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to our hearts today. So, from chapter 4, we have seen the introduction to the seven seals. We see John going into heaven, seeing the throne room, all the creatures and people described there in the throne room, God Himself on the throne. Then we saw in chapter 5, Jesus receiving the scroll, which had seven seals, which no one could open except him, because he alone is worthy. And throughout chapter 6, we have seen him open those first six seals of the scroll and read them and see the revelation, the four horsemen, the souls under the altar, the sixth seal reaching into chapter 7 with the great earthquake at the end of chapter 6 and Christ's return. Chapter 7 going back to the very beginning of the tribulation, 7 years of tribulation with 144,000 being sealed. And then the end of the tribulation with the great multitude that came through the great tribulation and giving praise to God for their victory through Him. Now we come to the end of the scroll as the last seal is opened in chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Before we get to that, let me just point out that that is the seventh seal. There is no more to the seventh seal. We may be inclined to think that the angel at the altar of incense in verses 2 through 5 may be part of the seventh seal, but it isn't. The only part of the seventh seal is silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. Now, this is very nondescript in its meaning. It doesn't really say a whole lot, and so it certainly inclines itself to many interpretations of what this silence means. But let us first notice that in heaven, where the throne room is, there has been a lot of noise. And so this silence is in contrast to the noise that we have already seen in the throne room. If we just go back to Revelation chapter 4, for example, we see verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There was a lot of noise already as we first see the throne room. We have seen a lot of noise already in the book of Revelation. We haven't gotten very far yet, but already we've seen much noise. We have seen the noise of of Christ when he comes, and the voice as of a great trumpet. A lot of noise from the very beginning as he spoke about what needed to be said to the seven churches, all with that great trumpeting voice. As we have looked at the book being opened, all six seals, martyrs crying out for vengeance, earthquakes occurring, a great earthquake that shakes heaven and earth, and the armies crying out that the mountains would fall on them. There has been a lot of noise already in the book of Revelation. And so this silence is very dramatic. It's only for a half an hour, but this silence is very dramatic. As we think about this silence of what we've already seen in the book of Revelation, we can also think about this silence in relation to what's still to come. We are about to get into the trumpets, loud blasts of seven trumpets, and in that's going to be angels proclaiming great proclamations throughout the whole world with very loud voices. We are going to have death, especially with the sixth trumpet. A lot of people are dying. One-third of the earth, a population, is dying. Billions of people are dying. There's a lot of screaming, a lot of horror. There are those that are attacking those that are dying, which are going to make a lot of noise as they come and attack. There is a lot of noise in the trumpets that are about to come and a lot of chaos. Now, we're going to see that chronologically, not laid out in the book of Revelation, but chronologically, all that noise is in the 7 years of tribulation. And so that all precedes what we're about to read, or what we are reading about the silence in heaven for half an hour. And so this also helps us understand the silence. All the noise of the revelation, if we were to see it all in the timeline, is mainly placed, well, some of it's in the church age, which we're in now, but it's mainly placed in the 7 years of tribulation. And so this silence in heaven after the tribulation of the sixth seal, when the seventh seal is opened, there being silence, indicates the end of the judgment, the end of God pouring out his wrath on this world. And so this silence is very, very significant. With all the noise came all the judgments. And so now silence implies there's no longer activity. There's no longer judgment upon this world. Now let's think about the fact that it's silence for about a half an hour. About a half an hour in the sense of the vision itself. When we have dreams or visions, we understand from sleep studies that a dream actually, even though it may seem like it could be eternity, as you walk down a passageway with a scary clown following you and Dracula and everything else that's horrifying in your nightmare, it could seem like it takes hours and you're running away takes a whole night long to get away from these monsters in your dreams. Well, actually, that dream happened in only a matter of seconds. We dream all the time. The dreams that we remember are the ones that are most dramatic to us, whether for good or for pleasure and happiness or for the scariness of the dream. Those are the ones that we dream, that we recall to our minds and remember. So we dream all the time, and we dream in our sleep all the time, and these dreams are very quick in actual time. So the fact that in John's dream, a whole half hour, 30 minutes of silence, he has seen this dream, this vision revealed to him, first seeing the throne room, or first seeing Christ and hearing about the message to the seven churches, then going up into heaven and seeing the throne room, and then seeing the call go out for anyone that can open the scroll, and only the Lamb was able to, and the praise that was given to the Lamb, and then the first six seals that occurred. All that is dramatic, but here there is silence for half an hour. Probably happened pretty quickly, because when we read Revelation 4 and read about the throne room description, John would have seen it in an instance, whereas we have to read word by word to understand what he saw. So the dream itself and the vision itself in the dream would be relatively quick for John. So the fact that he hears silence for half an hour is a very long time in the dream. To understand this, we may try to picture ourselves going to a movie and sitting in the movie theater. And the movie starts, and then all of a sudden, it stops. And there's silence, and there's no movie. And we continue to sit there, and we continue to sit there, and nothing's happening. And we sit there for a half an hour. That's a long time, sitting in a movie theater with no activity, no action. People today would just get up and leave after 5 minutes. 5 minutes is way too long to sit there and there be no activity. So the fact that John here describes a whole half an hour after all the amazing events, all the loud noises, all the dramatic scenes and horsemen and so forth, and then all of a sudden, silence. An ongoing silence. For a whole half an hour. This is dramatic in the dream. Let us think about where this seal comes. This seal is in the chronological layout of the seals after the sixth seal. The sixth seal refers to the 7 years of tribulation. What the sixth seal was sealing in the scroll refers to the 7 years of tribulation, with the 144,000 being sealed, those that come out of the great tribulation, the earthquake, and Christ's return. All that relates to the 7 years of tribulation in the sixth seal. So the seventh seal, as we think of a timeline, refers or implies the millennium, the 1,000 years that come after the 7 years of tribulation. So more specifically, the silence refers to no longer any judgment, any more noise and activity in heaven as far as judgment that God is pouring out on this world. It's all ceased. It's a half an hour, which is a long time in the activity of a dream. And so both of these elements imply a very long time of peace, the 1,000 years that follow the time of the tribulation. Christ's reign will be wonderful. Christ's reign for 1,000 years will be peaceful. He is the second Solomon, a man of peace, and brings more peace than Solomon brought. That doesn't mean there won't be any punishment and war and activity. He shall rule the nations with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces if they will not submit to him during that 1,000 years. So he's going to keep rule, and that's going to cause a lot of activity and noise. But the pouring out of judgment from heaven, as we see in the trumpets and then the bowls, that is not going to be there during the 1,000 years. Christ will rule and reign in peace. There, of course, will be, after the 1,000 years, the time that Revelation 20 speaks about, where the dragon is released from his bondage for just a short time and leads the whole world in rebellion, and then fire is poured out of heaven. So more judgment on the wicked, but it's in that moment. And that is not till after that time of silence and peace that the seal refers to. And so, as a whole, we can summarize the seals. They were introduced by the throne room in heaven, where the proclamation was given, whoever could open these, the seals of the book. No one was able to, except the Lamb. That was all the introduction to the seven seals, chapter 4 and 5. And then we saw the first five seals being opened, and those all refer to the present church age that we're in now. The time of conquest, nations rising against nations. There's a removal of peace from the earth, time of war with the second horseman. The third horseman brings famine, and we see that especially in lands like Africa, parts of Africa where there's a lot of famine. And then the fourth horseman being death and the grave that follows after, as we see so much death around the world. And ultimately, this is God's judgment in part as well. But there's a general time of judgment here in the church age, which is going on now. We see the souls of the under the altar, the martyrs in the fifth seal. That certainly is going on now in the church age as well. So the first five seals being broken in the scroll all refer to the time of the church age, which we're in now. The sixth seal speaks of the 7 years of tribulation. Beginning, the sixth seal was the great earthquake that's going to happen when Christ returns. The armies that cry for the mountains to fall on them at Christ's return. And then the sealing of this 144,000 at the beginning of chapter 7. And the end of chapter 7 being the great multitude that comes to the great tribulation. So the whole sixth seal refers to the 7 years of tribulation. And now we see the end of this book being revealed as the seventh seal is opened, the silence in heaven for a half an hour. It's a long time in the midst of a dream, feels like a long time, a whole half an hour, but there's silence. There's no more noise, no more activity, no more judgment. This is a time of peace, and it implies the millennial reign that comes after this great time of God pouring out wrath and judgment in the tribulation on this earth. Before we close this portion, the cycle of the seals, let me make the parallel with Matthew 24 and 25. We have seen how Jesus' words in Matthew 24 relate to all the first six seals. Jesus speaking about there being wars and rumors of wars, there being death and famine, all these things relating to the first four seals, the earth, the horsemen. He spoke about how they're going to betray the Christians, brother rising up against brother, mother against daughter-in-law, and so forth, how they would bring them before synagogues and even put them to death. That all relates to the fifth seal of the martyr crying out for vengeance. And then we saw the sixth seal relating to the actual coming of Christ there in Matthew 24 and the tribulation that occurs even before that with abomination of desolations and the Antichrist and false prophets and false Christ deceiving the world and so forth. So he was speaking about this what's contained in the sixth seal there in Matthew 24. And so when we think about the peace that comes afterwards, portion of the Matthew 24 and then all of 25 relate to this time of silence. There is the judgment that comes. If we go back to Matthew 24, Jesus does speak in Matthew 24 of how we should watch because we don't know what time the Lord is coming and the judgment that he will bring against his servants, at the end of Matthew 24, and I'll just read 42 until the end. It says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So this is the judgment that Christ brings in when he comes against his people. And that continues in the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Some of them prepared to have oil throughout the night, and some of them didn't. So when it came time for the king to come, those that were wise, that had the oil, were ready, and the others were not able to enter into the kingdom. And then he speaks in chapter 25 about the 3 servants that had different amount of talents, that one of them buried the one talent, and the others used the talents profitably, and he rewards the good servants, but the evil servant he throws into darkness. And then Matthew 25 ends with the king upon the throne. He divides between the sheep on the one side and the goats on the other, and he brings the goats in, explaining that they had cared for him. And in caring for their brothers and sisters in Christ, they were caring for him, but then casting out the goats because they did not care for him, and they did not care for him in the sense that they mistreated the Christians. And so Matthew 25 and the end of 24 in some ways prepare us for this seventh seal, a time of peace. Obviously a time of judgment, but the heavens are not yelling and screaming and blowing up. There is this time of peace where Christ is establishing his kingdom and ordering it for the 1,000 years of peace and silence to come. So there is a parallel between, a full parallel between the 7 seals of this one scroll that Jesus opens in Revelation and the prophecies he already gave in Matthew 24 and 25. So that concludes our discussion on the 7 seals, but I do think we should begin thinking about the trumpets that are coming. The trumpets begin in chapter 8, verse 2. The introduction is the angel at the altar of incense. And the trumpet cycle will continue all the way through to chapter 15, verse 4. And we'll see that that is the case. But for right now, just recognize that there's a good portion given to the trumpets. And this really is the central piece in the book of Revelation in a chiastic form. I'm not going to go through the time to explain that chiasm. But the whole book of Revelation can be seen in a chiastic form, where the beginning relates to the end, the second portion at the beginning relates to the second portion at the end, third portion at the beginning relates to the third portion at the end, and ultimately in the middle is this 7 trumpet cycle, the cycle of 7 trumpets. Now, the trumpets present a new cycle of judgment from the seven seals, this time focused on the 7 years of tribulation. So the seven seals, the whole scroll that Jesus opens, refers to the church age, the 7 years of tribulation, and then the peace that follows after. But the seven trumpets focus in on the 7 years of tribulation. The 7 years of tribulation. They are particular to that time. And so we see that there's a narrowing. So all seven seals are open, and they give us a broader perspective of what's going to come from John's standpoint back in 96-95 AD. But now there's a narrowing in as we get to the trumpets, more focused on the 7 years of tribulation. And then the seven bowls are going to focus on the great tribulation, where God pours out his wrath, particularly on the beast at that time. So the language relates to the 3.5 years, begins with the sixth trumpet, and continues with the description of the great tribulation and the seventh trumpet. So again, the first six trumpets relate to the first half of the tribulation. The last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, by itself relates to the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. All the seven trumpets then are an expansion and a further explanation of the time period covered in the sixth seal that we've already described and explained. Trumpet number seven seems to be blown at the time of the second coming. So if we go to Revelation chapter 11, let's just read the opening words of this trumpet. Revelation 11, we'll begin with verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders which sat before God on the seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices, thunderings, and an earthquake and great hail. So we see this seventh trumpet being opened, and the kingdom is proclaimed, and so we are at the end where the kingdom is established. But as we're going to see with chapter 12 and following, it backtracks to the beginning of the great tribulation, when the dragon attacks the woman and the beast comes up out of the sea and sets up the mark of the beast, so no man can buy or sell without that mark, and so forth. So it gives us the end with the proclamation of the kingdom, but then it backtracks to the beginning of the great tribulation with the Antichrist and dragon attacking. And so this is just like the sixth seal, where we saw the great earthquake beginning the sixth seal, but then it backtracks to the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation with the 144,000, and then walks through the tribulation, so to speak, ending with the great multitude that comes through the great tribulation. So a very similar pattern here, and can be quite confusing as we look at the seventh trumpet. So why does the book of Revelation speak about trumpets? Well, the trumpets were the only musical instrument given in the law. The Bible speaks about harps and lyres and various stringed instruments, but these only came later, and when the temple was being prepared, David was the one, and two other prophets, they gave prophecy, and God gave the the design to David about these special harps and lyres and stringed instruments that were used with the singing in the temple. All that was by inspiration. Well, before David came along, the only instrument that was used in the temple was, or in the tabernacles, were the two silver trumpets that God told Moses to construct. If we go back to Numbers chapter 10, I'll begin with verse 1 of Numbers chapter 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So here we have the command of God to build these two, or make these two silver trumpets. They were used only by the priests. This points to, again, the angels acting in a very priestly way in the book of Revelation, as they are the ones blowing the trumpets, which only priests were supposed to do. We will see this also with the angel at the altar of incense, performing an act of burning incense, which only priests were allowed to do. So there are other similar activities of angels that only priests should do in the book of Revelation. So these trumpets were made so that the priests could blow them, and in order to sound an alarm, or to gather the people, or to indicate when the next group of Israelites were going to move through the procession in the wilderness, so marching orders basically for the people. It was used for the time of war, and that is certainly what we're going to understand in relation to the trumpets in Revelation, that they were used to gather the people for war. They were used throughout the war as the battle, as they would blow, and God would hear the blow of the trumpet and give the Israelites the victory, as it describes here. But then also they were used in relation to the solemn feasts and the holy days throughout the year. Trumpets are not musical instruments that you can sing to. They're just a blast. An announcement is going to happen. They're used by heralds to indicate the king is coming, or some such thing. They are not a musical instrument, at least these simple trumpets back that were made, just basically a long silver cylinder that was blown into, that would produce a long sounding noise. That was the basic noise. This was not a musical instrument to sing to, like the harps eventually will be in the temple worship. This is not instruments to sing to, but to make an announcement and a noise. And so that's what we're supposed to understand in the book of Revelation. These relate to judgment an announcement of judgment that God is about to attack the land again. Now, I would suggest that all seven trumpets are going to be heard by the people. They are obviously heard in the dream, but I believe that they will be heard among the people. Because the last trumpet in particular is going to be heard by us at the resurrection. The seventh trumpet, or the last trumpet, is what's going to be heard by us when we are called by God to arise from the dead and to meet him in the air. That time when the seventh trumpet is blasted and we are resurrected, that's going to be the time of us gathering in heaven and preparing for the battle. So the trumpet, the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet, is related to the Battle of Armageddon, when he gathers his people, all the resurrected saints, and all those that are alive, which are just transformed, and everybody's going to meet him in the air and gather the armies in the air, and then he's going to come down to attack the beast and those that oppose him in this world. And so the trumpets and their use in the battle is very significant in the book of Revelation. But that is about the last trumpet. So let's see what I mean by the last trumpet. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I believe these are passages we've already looked at, but just to refresh our minds about the trumpet that's indicated here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Ye shall not all sleep, but ye shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Notice the next few words. "At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality," and so forth. This is the time of this last trumpet. And why is it called the last trumpet? Well, if we look at the book of Revelation and the seven trumpets that are there, the last trumpet is the seventh blown after the other six. That would be my understanding of this passage, that it refers, Paul is already given by the inspiration of God an understanding of trumpets, at least a plurality of trumpets, and this last one is the one that's going to indicate the resurrection, us gathering in heaven for the battle. We see this also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, familiar verses about the resurrection and the rapture, but I'll just begin in verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God," the trumpet of God, "and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." If we are going to hear the sound of the archangel and the voice of Christ, certainly the sound of the trumpet will also be heard. And so the last trumpet will be heard. And Matthew 24, again, just to have a fullness of these passages related to the resurrection. But Matthew 24, verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory." And notice verse 31, And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is not a silent trumpet. There's going to be a great sound of a trumpet. By the way, this passage and 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, which we've just read, all these passages are outside of the book of Revelation and apocalyptic books, where people are inclined to see images that aren't going to actually be there. These passages are telling us what's going to happen very literally, and this trumpet blast, the seventh trumpet blast, is going to be heard the world around, and the elect are going to gather with Christ for the battle. So my logic is that if the seventh is heard, then the first six will be heard as well. And so, again, this helps us again to reflect upon the silence in the seventh seal, that the whole world will hear these trumpet blasts and the following judgments that God pours out on the earth. Tremendous judgments during these trumpets. So there's a blast of a trumpet, there's a judgment, and everybody's rattled by the event. And they learn when there's another blast, there's another judgment coming. You can imagine the panic anytime they hear the next one. But of course, this will all be a wonderful day of victory when that seventh and last trumpet is finally heard and we are all gathered to Christ on that day of resurrection. So this will serve as an introduction to these trumpets. The trumpets that follow are great noises. The world will hear every single trumpet, in my opinion. They announce judgments. They are used to proclaim the attack against the world that has killed his people and mistreated his people. And God is going to send yet one more blast of the judgment, one more blast of the trumpet, to bring it and announce yet another judgment against the world that hates him, refuses to repent and turn to him, and he is out to punish and destroy ultimately. This is what the seven trumpets in the book of Revelation is all about.